Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
My uncontrollable movements called TD, tardive dyskinesia, felt embarrassing. I felt like disconnecting. I asked my doctor about treating my TD and learned about Ingrezza, a prescription medicine clinically proven for reducing TD in adults. That's always one capsule, once daily, and number one prescribed. People taking Ingrezza can stay on most mental health meds.
Ingrezza can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, or actions in patients with Huntington's disease. Call your doctor if you become depressed, have sudden behavior or mood changes, or suicidal thoughts. Don't take Ingrezza if allergic. Serious side effects may include allergic reactions like sudden, potentially fatal swelling and hives, sleepiness, the most common side effect, and heart rhythm problems. Know how Ingrezza affects you before operating a car or dangerous machinery. Report fever, stiff muscles, or problems thinking, as these might be life-threatening. Shaking, stiffness, drooling, and trouble with moving or balance may occur.
Take control by asking your doctor about Ingrezza.
Learn more at Ingrezza.com. That's Ingrezza.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron.
On News Talk.
Before any of that, we are going to kick things off as we do every day with our afternoon update, catching you up on all that has happened, the stories that matter most. And with me for the afternoon update today, Ian O'Doherty, columnist with the Irish Independent, and Craig Hughes, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. Ian, you'll be glad to know I've relented and allowed the dog in.
You have.
Well, at night, when it gets very cold, like it was -7, even I thought that's probably pushing it to leave
even
the dog.
You,
but to leave the dog at -7. Well, I am a monster, yeah.
But the dog is training you. This is the thing you have to remember. Dogs train us more than we train dogs. My pair, Belle particularly, she just refuses to go out when it's too cold. We should have called her Goldilocks, because if it's too hot, she doesn't like it. If it's too cold, she doesn't like it. If it's raining, forget about it.
That's a little person. That's not a dog at all.
I think I might have created two spoiled little monsters.
Yeah, you see, you should have left them out more when they were puppies.
No,
rooted them out the back garden.
They're rescue dogs. It's my job to spoil them.
I don't know. Whenever I mention the dogs being outdoor dogs, people take sin and give out to me for being some sort of tyrant. Dogs are meant to be outside, aren't they?
No.
They are.
No, they're not.
They are.
Look,
they're animals.
My pair sleep in the bed.
Come on, that's... You've got to draw the line somewhere now.
I know, you know.
Sick.
It's not sick.
What type of people are you bringing on this show?
Do News Talk stand over these news here?
No, my life revolves around them. And they treat me like rubbish because they know they have me wrapped around their little paws.
Do yours bark early in the morning? This is turning into now a bit of a kind of an advice slot.
No.
Okay.
They bark when anybody walks past.
Okay.
Because
good guard dogs,
they have their own couch underneath the window, the sitting room window. And so they tend to go nuts. We got the second one to calm the first one down.
Did it work?
No, because the first one made the second one crazy. So now, rather than having one crazy dog, I have two crazy dogs. And they just do what they want.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I get the impression that they look at me at times, and when I'm trying to give out to them, it's like their faces are just going, yeah, okay, boomer.
Well, if anyone at home has advice, because ours is not a barker, except at 6 a.m. That's his wake-up call. That's his biological clock.
He wants to go out to the
6 a.m. Well, you'd think that, but if he's outside, he can go to the loo. The world is his oyster.
Oh, right.
But then in the last few nights when I've allowed him in, he just goes to the toilet right at the back door. So he's, and he still barks afterwards. So I think he just wants to go for a walk that early. Yeah. Now I bring him for a walk.
He's saying good morning.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, you know, there's mornings I just wish he'd say good morning a little bit later.
I know. That's all.
A house is not a home without a dog. Says one listener, 087 1400 106. Anyway, we're not here to talk about dogs. We're here to talk about an awful lot of things. We might start with the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, because she is on the show a little bit later after 5 o'clock, and there's a whole host of things to talk to her about. But Craig, a couple of things today in the news that pertain to her. Broadly, from a government point of view, Leo Varadkar again talking about all these extra resources that are going to be diverted to communities around the country because we have so many spare GPs and nurses and Gardaí as it is. We can afford to send them to different areas. And then in terms of her own bailiwick, this news that the initiative to increase Garda presence in Dublin city centre after the riots in November looks like it's coming to an end.
Yeah, we'll start on the immigration side first of all. So we've got details of this grand plan, or I guess the outline sketch of it, that the 10 districts that have taken the most refugees and asylum seekers will be getting these extra resources. And people are saying, well, you know, what are these 10 districts? So they haven't even drawn them up yet, which I guess gives you an outline of how embryonic this plan is. There's talk about mobilising Garda reserves, all that. I mean, it's all very broad brush ideas at the moment. I'd say into next week you might see that flesh out a bit more, but we all know the challenges that are there at the moment. Given that we're struggling to get Garda numbers as it was, it'll be difficult to see how you can plan them around the country, even though that doesn't seem to be the main issue. The other one is around resources. Like, look at GPs, for example. It's just struggle to see how you're suddenly going to be able to magic up enough GPs into rural areas that will make a significant impact on availability and similarly across other services. I will say, though, that this is becoming kind of more into focus, even at the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting on Tuesday night. Ms McEntee was asked about all this, and she said, look, we're bolstering up the system. We know we need to be seen to be firm on it. She said there's more deportations happening now than ever before, and there's more staff attached to it. And I think the Taoiseach said, look, when you've got 40 million people coming to your ports, a slippage of 1 or 2% is kind of normal. But I think it comes back to that side of needing people to think that the system is firm where there are those breaches of it, which I think they've struggled on so far. So it'll be interesting to see what the Minister has to say on that. On the policing side of things, of course, there was that story in the Irish Times today that the money was being used up. But I think the Minister was pretty clear when she spoke on RTÉ earlier that the presence will be maintained. And I think that's really important because while I don't think anyone expects to see another riot, like when we had yesterday, the first day back of the Dáil, really heavy police Garda presence outside. Now, nothing happened, but it's if something big happens again, the perception for the government really, really could be you know, critical for them. So they're not going to let up when it's an issue of money on keeping Garda on the streets as long as they have to.
Like, Ian, are they creating a hostage to fortune by talking about extra resources for communities? Or
absolutely, because okay, if you're going to talk about them, you have to deliver them. So the mechanisms and the resources have to be there. And I have to say, for the record, I mean, I've said this in print, Helen McEntee has been a disaster. She's completely failed the people of Dublin. Her bold-faced assertion that Dublin was a safe city was roundly disproved. This is after the assault on Stephen Termini. Mm. And I worked in Talbot Street for about 15 years, and the place has always a bit of a war zone. But it's become a hell of a lot worse now. It's dangerous. I wouldn't want my wife walking down even in the middle of the day. You very rarely see a cop walking the streets. The fact that Dublin is now one of the 10 most dangerous cities in Europe is proof of that. And I think she's manifestly failed. And also, I do think, with the immigration issue, this is going to get a hell of a lot worse before we see any improvement. And what we're going to see is a hell of a lot more resentment from people who aren't far right, who aren't racist. They're just seeing their communities being gutted, like we've seen in Ross Cray. You've every right to be annoyed if the last hotel in your village, which is the primary venue for every social occasion, from communions to christenings to weddings, if that's taken, of course you're going to be annoyed. Mm. And you're perfectly entitled to be annoyed. And what we have is a lot of Dublin journalists who don't live in areas that are affected by immigration. And they can afford to take, it's almost like a theological approach that they have towards these things, that anybody who doesn't want these people coming in is far right. Like, let's put it this way, in the estate where I live, there's quite a bunch of Ukrainians have moved in the last few years. And they're brilliant. And I love the fact that the Ukrainian kids who first arrived a few years ago, now they speak with thick Dublin accents. And they're locals. And yeah, they've been completely assimilated. But the thing is, when you have your community centres or your hotels being turned over, it's going to foster resentment. And that's going to lead to serious problems down the road.
I wonder, Craig, is one of the lessons from the Ross Grey experience that the Department of Integration needs to slow down a little bit in terms of accepting any offer of accommodation? That, you know, because I talked about it yesterday, not too far from Ross Grey. Well, you know what I mean? It's a decent drive as the crow flies, not too far. In Urlingford in North Kilkenny, there was protests a couple of weeks ago. They kind of withered away because the building that was proposed or and continues to be proposed to be used for asylum seekers was kind of a vacant old building that had been kind of offices and storage above shops. You know, they weren't robbing from Peter to pay Paul, in other words.
Yeah, but and of course this is the quandary in which the Minister for Integration, Radhika Gorman, finds himself.
Yeah, I think we appreciate the fact that it is a scramble.
No, it's a scramble. But so I guess the question he would have is, do you leave the 600 people who are currently without any accommodation on the streets tonight in -6 or -7, or do you take the accommodation that's there on offer? The Ross Grey case is so important. One, because now the government is trying to go in and do up a vacant hotel that was there. But a problem that was actually raised at the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party last night by Senator Pat Casey, who of course is a hotelier as well, was that, you know, you can't create a situation whereby it makes more economic sense to open up accommodation for asylum seekers than it is to run a hotel. And that's what the state has created at the moment. So that therein lies the issue. And it's tough to get away from commercial realities as well. Like, if you have a struggling hotel business and you go, well, actually, do you know what? Why would I bother killing myself to struggle to keep this going when I can just do this? So that's a really delicate balance they've struck. They failed in Ross Grey. I think they realised that. But again, they're still in this emergency kind of spin where they're trying to deal with it. And the difficulty for them is, I can't see them getting ahead of the curve now for quite some time. When you still have between, you know, 500 and 800 new arrivals each week, how do you get ahead of that when you're already struggling to get new accommodation? That's the real challenge.
Yeah, it could be a running to standstill element to all of this. Listen, Helen McEntee is going to be with me in about an hour's time, and we will talk about all those issues and more besides. I do want to ask you, though, about Kate Middleton. We all have fingers and toes crossed for her recovery. Look, she's a real person. I shouldn't be flippant about her health. At the same time, I did find it kind of remarkable, Ian, earlier, and I checked with a few other people here on the floor in News Talk. I asked them to check what was the top trending thing on their Twitter, just in case mine was the algorithm was skewing mine. And Kate Middleton was either 1, 2, or 3 on everybody's. Yeah. There's just a fascination, isn't there?
There is, and it's one of the dichotomies of the Irish mindset, in that most of us would be vaguely nationalist, with a small n. I don't mean rabid Republican, but, you know, and yet there's this really strange fascination, on the other hand, with the royal family. And I think, and I've written about this before, I think it's because basically the royal family is just a really posh version of EastEnders, right? It's a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
Which, up until recently, had a very strong matriarch who was holding everything together.
I love this. And that's the Barbara Windsor character. Yeah. Okay.
In the Queen Vic, as opposed to the Queen Liz. And now they're falling apart. And Will and Kate seem like a nice couple. But I'm more interested, and because I'm a keen student of ghastly human folly, I have a very unseemly interest in Meghan and Harry, because their appallingness and their sheer hubris and their utter inability to tell the truth about anything just really fascinating.
So who are they in the EastEnders metaphor? The Cat and Alfie?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you can work this all the way down. It's bizarre, it. You know. But that's
two brothers are bald as well. They're like the Mitchells.
Yeah,
it's great.
Feuding.
Yeah, this is ideal. I love it.
Don't be looking at me asking me to understand EastEnders references. I busy my time.
You work for the Mail, so you understand all the Royal references, surely, Craig.
You must have got the memo, Craig, because the Mail are going big on this one.
Like, joking aside, I mean, there's a reason that not just the Mail, other newspapers reported as well. There is a fascination, isn't there?
No, there is, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like quite a lot of people went off. I think if we don't have a lot of Royal coverage, people kind of tend to give out about it. So, look, there is. There's no doubt about it. And that's why it's the top story on the Mail website today and across all your Twitters, because there is this fascination and it's borne out whenever there's a royal visit.
And is it, like, because sometimes there's a temptation to overthink it and look through it all through a kind of post-colonial lens at all of this. Mm. It strikes me, though, maybe it's just a celebrity thing, is it? And we're just exposed to their culture so much.
Reality show.
Yeah. It's just they're kind of celebs.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
People are fascinated by celebs.
I mean, the desire amongst the Irish public for royal content is certainly undoubtable.
Yeah. Well, the big news today was that Will's visitor in hospital. I like one of some of the coverage. It was, I think it was in the Telegraph, I read it. He drove himself to the hospital, you know, real man of the people.
Yeah.
And then the photograph was him with a kind of a bodyguard in the car beside him, and then a massive Range Rover with about four bodyguards driving right behind him. That doesn't count as driving yourself.
I think we could be witnessing the last of the royals in their current form,
yeah,
as we know them. So there is that sort of literal end of an empire sense. Once the Queen died, public respect for the royal family to a large degree died with it.
So, well, you say that, but someone's texted in to say, Kieran, by Kate Middleton, I assume you mean Catherine, the Princess of Wales. Somebody else says, Danny Dyer, who's on EastEnders, is actually related to the royal family.
Yeah, is it Henry VIII or something? He was on one of those.
No way!
He was on one of those genealogy shows. But which just proves that it was Who Do You Think You Are or something like that.
I think if people can't see the look on Craig's face, I think he's the exception to the rule. He is not responsible for Kate Middleton trending, is the sense I get from this conversation. He's squirming over there. Please do not ask me anything else about that woman or
nurse,
that family.
A nurse was suspended today for saying that if Kate had gone to the NHS, she would have been kicked out after one day. And she's in trouble for saying that she was trying to defend the NHS. Mm. So the Brits still take this stuff seriously. I think it's one of the reasons why we have such an almost ghoulish interest, is that to us it's kind of unfathomable.
Yeah.
So therefore we tend to find it quite amusing. I find it quite amusing. You know, now if I was British, I'd probably be a Republican who wants to.
Yeah, because you're paying for it all. We get all the enjoyment without any of the tax burden.
Yeah, although they do bring in more
to
the exchequer, in fairness.
I'm not sure we're going to get back to that a little bit later in the show. So if you've got a view on the Royal Family, share it with me now. Before you go, there was mention of the NHS there. So, Craig, we only have a minute or two left, but I do want to mention Tony Holohan, former CMO, speaking at a conference a little bit earlier today, talking about vaccine uptake amongst healthcare workers, which is very low, it turns out, for COVID-19 vaccines. It's perennially low as well for flu.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I remember during the pandemic, this was something that, I mean, when it was raised, that there was this big push to get the healthcare workers to take it. I was kind of going, what? Surely you're the cohort who'd always get it. So I think after an initial boost during the pandemic, it's back down again. Personally now, I've got my flu vaccine and my COVID vaccine. So I think, look, it makes sense. And I think everyone should do it, especially if
I was stuck in bed for all of November because I didn't take the flu vaccine.
Yeah.
And it absolutely wiped me out. The sickest I've ever felt. But the thing is, I mean, I understand bodily autonomy and people being reluctant to take vaccines and stuff. But by and large, vaccines, you know, when was the last time you saw somebody with polio?
Mm.
Vaccines work. But I'd be equally uncomfortable with the idea of forcing them onto people.
William visits Kate as she spends her third day in hospital. Stepping back from royal duties to juggle childcare was one headline. It must be tough deciding which nanny to use.
You're obsessed.
Hey, no, somebody's texted in on Danny Dyer, Richard III.
Crookback,
now is the winter of our discontent.
I stand corrected.
Bosworth Field and all of that. Wow. There you have it.
I stand corrected.
The War of the Roses. More texts. I won't have time for them all. The amount of texts is fascinating. Ian O'Doherty, columnist at the Irish Independent. Craig Hughes, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
My uncontrollable movements called TD, tardive dyskinesia, felt embarrassing. I felt like disconnecting. I asked my doctor about treating my TD and learned about Ingrezza, a prescription medicine clinically proven for reducing TD in adults. That's always one capsule, once daily, and number one prescribed. People taking Ingrezza can stay on most mental health meds.
Ingrezza can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, or actions in patients with Huntington's disease. Call your doctor if you become depressed, have sudden behavior or mood changes, or suicidal thoughts. Don't take Ingrezza if allergic. Serious side effects may include allergic reactions like sudden, potentially fatal swelling and hives, sleepiness, the most common side effect, and heart rhythm problems. Know how Ingrezza affects you before operating a car or dangerous machinery. Report fever, stiff muscles, or problems thinking, as these might be life-threatening. Shaking, stiffness, drooling, and trouble with moving or balance may occur.
Take control by asking your doctor about Ingrezza.
Learn more at Ingrezza.com. That's Ingrezza.com.